On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we ask, which position group are you expecting the most out of? The NFL is trying to crush Mark Davis. Why is Yannick Ngakoue still pissed? And has Tom Brady's contract completely changed broadcasting forever? And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. Yeah, it is an episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. My God, Soto.
Yes.
So glad we're not playing the Bears next season. The Bears, some teams like to reload. Other teams start stockpiling nukes. And that's what the Bears did. We had our chance. We had a nuclear silo on our roster. And we let him go.
We had a under 20 Pam Anderson prime before she hit it big. We had it. We had perfection.
Before the hep.
Before the hep.
Before Tommy Lee got in there. Yeah. Season 3 of Baywatch.
Oh, we had even it. Before Baywatch, when she was doing that crappy Canadian beer ad.
When she was in Home Improvement. Remember, she was like the Tool Time girl early on?
Yeah, she was the first season. How about before that, when she was on an episode of Married with Children? You haven't seen that one?
That's some good trivia.
She was one of like the dream girls. He was having a dream, and they were like, her and some other chick were like pillow fighting or something like that. She's like 20. Oh my God.
That's what we had. That's what we had. Until Nathan Peterman was ripped from the Silver and Black and signed by the Chicago Bears.
Ripped from my loins.
That was, we talked last time about what's John Gruden's legacy. Top five, making Nathan Peterman a millionaire. He was just like hell bent on keeping Nathan Peterman around. And Josh McDaniels and company. That was like the first. I swear that's the first thing they did when they got there. They're like, "All right, let's change the nameplate on the door. Can I get my keys? Let me get the passwords. And can you give me Nathan Peterman's agent's number? I got to do this right away. We got to cut this guy."
Nathan Peterman. Hey, is this phone working? Is this phone working? Okay, great. Get Nathan Peterman on the line for me, please. Yeah.
Nathan Peterman signed to the Bears, and of course, the memes have just been fantastic. The king of the NFC North and some old head named Aaron Rodgers. It's Peterman and Rodgers.
So sweet.
The Chicago Bears tweeted out, "We have signed Nathan Peterman to a one-year contract." Peterman fam subtweeted, "Correction, Nathan Peterman signed the Bears
to a one-year contract." Yeah.
This is a good Michael one Jordan too. Is now the second greatest Chicago sports player of all time.
Nathan Peterman, hands down. And if you don't like it, bite me.
It just feels right. Nathan Peterman going to a franchise where all quarterback careers go to die.
Pretty much, yeah.
It makes sense because literally only he can drag the Bears out of their quarterback purgatory. It's like reverse, like until Perriman came around, the Raiders is where you went if you were a linebacker for your career to die.
Mm-hmm.
It was like there, like, and that's what the Bears do to quarterbacks. What we do to linebackers or did is what the Bears do to quarterbacks until now. It's like an immovable object meets an unstoppable force, right?
Something's got to give.
Is meeting the black hole that is the Bears quarterback room. Something crazy's got to happen.
I see, you know, it's not going to be an injury. It's not going to be like, he had a bad half or anything like that. Nathan Peterman is going to just straight up beat Justin Fields for the job.
Yep.
Like, I know you wasted a first round pick on this kid. Don't worry about it. I'll take you to the promised land.
Remember when he was the starter of the Bills, like over Josh Allen? Like that was like a debate. Who do we play? Nathan Peterman or Josh Allen? That was a thing. That was like a Bills mafia discussion for a period of time.
Well, Peterman had a rough half, but he got the fuck out of here.
Who's going to play all of our snaps in the preseason now? That's what I'm curious. That's what I'm worried about. No Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, really, right? No Mariota, no Peterman.
So sad.
You know, Carr's going to throw shit in the front. First off, look, we're not going to run anything in the preseason.
Yeah.
That's a Belichick disciple thing. Any Belichick disciple coach, offense and defense is nothing like what they're going to be in, like, you know, the regular season. They had fucking Cam Newton fucking flinging that thing around all figures of the preseason.
And Graham's going to have us out in like a 5-2 front.
Yeah, right.
You know, three safeties, no corners.
On these mothers.
Oh, can't wait.
So good.
This is the first time in a long time I'm like genuinely intrigued by the Raiders preseason. Like genuinely intrigued what we're going to see.
Well, you know, because the thing is, it's like when Gruden came in, we weren't really intrigued with what the fucking offense was going to look like because we knew what the offense was going to look like. He told you for fucking 10 years what his offense was. This is what it is. Choice route here, choice route here. This guy runs down the seam. And, you know, we got a little play action. A guy freaking leaking off after the freaking chip or something like that.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. It's what he runs. And now it's like, okay, McDaniels is a little different. He, you know, has a scheme, basic scheme, but he does lean heavy towards his roster and his roster's talents. Graham does the same thing defensively. Are they going to implement any of that stuff? Maybe some very basic sets and nothing, no wrinkles in the preseason. We'll see, but it's definitely going to be different.
So that's a great segue because we're going to figure out who's making the squad. And we got a lot of new guys, new faces, young guys. So the question of the day, and it'll be down there in the comments section. Leave your comment. Curious what you say. What you think?
Check it out.
We'll pin it at the top. Which position group are you expecting the most out of? And we chose the wording very closely. Like we were debating exactly how do we want to word this because if we say which
position we are master debaters.
We are, and we're not strangers. So like, we were kind of debating masterfully. Is it okay? Which position group do we have the most hope for? That's very different than what's the position group you expect the most out of. And that's also very different from what position group has the highest expectations, right? Like this is a very specific way to put it. Which position group are you expecting the most out of? And you can be, you know, you can say D-line or you can say interior defensive line. You can say DBs or you can just say corners. Leave it up to you, right? Interior O-line, the entire O-line, right? All these things are up to you. Mm-hmm. So that's the question of the day. Let us know what you think. Which position group are you expecting the most out of?
So what say you, JR? When we go first, okay.
Yeah.
It's a toss-up for me.
Okay. Toss up. Toss away.
Either pass catchers or D-line.
I like how you didn't say wide receivers.
Yeah, because I mean Waller is technically a tight end, but he rarely lines up in line. So he's more of a wide receiver than anything. So that's why I said pass catchers.
Yep.
Simply because I looked at some tape of Tom Brady's last season with the Patriots, and they threw a lot to like running backs and tight ends late, and they were wide open. Like he schemed these guys open. Like it was crazy. And it was Tom Brady, and it was defenses reacting to Tom Brady with their eyes and his pump fakes and stuff. But he can scheme guys open. And when they're open, they get big chunks of yardage. So that's why the pass catchers, the defensive line, I like who we picked up on the interior. I like the new scheme that we have that's going to maybe confuse the offensive line a little bit. They don't know where the pressure is coming from sometimes. Jones and Crosby are beasts. So if I had to pick one, I would probably say pass catchers though.
So when I hear the question, what position group am I expecting the most out of? That to me sounds almost like the dad talking about his son. That's on the dad's the coach and his son's on the team. Mm-hmm. So it's expecting means that they should already be performing well. And we want them to perform even better, right? So if the question was, which position am I have the most hope for, hoping, I'd say O-line.
I'm
hoping the O-line can jive and that the confidence that it seems like Mick Ziegler has given them to more or less sort of as we expect now hasn't drastically changed. They've only brought in third, fourth rounders and undrafted free agents against them. So they're obviously not, you know, they didn't bring in heavy artillery to change. Those would be the guys I hope for.
If I can amend my hope,
okay,
I probably would say the secondary.
That was going to be my next one. Secondary. Oh. Hope. But the secondary with the pieces that we have now, Trevin Morg, good rookie year. The biggest jump traditionally for most players is rookie to second year. So hopefully Trevin Morg is incredibly improved. Abram has improved drastically. Can he improve in coverage more? Can keep that trajectory? Mullen, can he come back from that surgery? Whatever it may be, he's still being cryptic about it. And then Rock Racine.
He had a hangnail, maybe.
Yeah, whatever it may be, right? So that's the hope. When I think of like which position group for sure will deliver, I'll say the defensive ends, Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. And also these guys are generally the least scheme dependent on the defense, right? Like especially passing downs, pull the ears back, go, right?
Line up, pin them back and go.
Right. Now there's no position that is entirely scheme independent, but these two guys more or less are the can they jive? Can they embrace the system? Generally they have the easiest job doing that.
They'll be fine.
Be you. Guys, just be you, right?
Do you, boo?
So expecting the most out of, with this very specific terminology, quarterbacks. I'm going to say quarterback room. Derek Carr, you've got your boy, Devontae Adams, Pro Bowler slot guy. At worst, top three tight end in football. The line we're going to have to scheme around a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Jacobs still here for another season, Pro Bowler, right? Like, you got your weapons, you've got your coordinator, you've proven that you can carry a team when necessary. You've also proven that you can bury the team at times. I'd say I'm expecting Derek Carr. Like, if I was the coach of a team and he was my son on the team, I'd be like, I'm expecting you to deliver this season, Derek Carr.
It's like, if you don't, it's like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Disappointed. I think that's probably the best way to do it. If this position group doesn't deliver next season, which group would you say, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed?
Quarterback.
I would say quarterback. I would definitely say quarterback. It sounds like a cop-out, but I think
it really
absolutely
isn't.
Applies here.
It really isn't because, this is some of the reasons why I am – people like to say, you're coming around on Derek Carr. I was like, no, I'm not coming around on Derek Carr. I saw Derek Carr for who he was, and I knew that he needed more because he's very good in some areas and he's limited in others. And one of the limitations he has is he needs more overall talent. He's not going to be like an Aaron Rodgers where he's going to make a guy that's like undrafted free agent type of guy and make him consistently year by year a great pass catcher, right? He's not going to give him these balls and put him in position, right?
Well, he made an afterthought Nelson Aguilar, $22
million. Bro, look at Aguilar's stats. We talk about this all the time. His stats were not groundbreaking, okay?
But it made him a $22 million.
That doesn't matter. That's because the Patriots overpaid. The Patriots fucking want to drop him right now anyway.
It only takes one team.
Exactly. So it's not. Let's not say.
Turn Zay Jones.
Let's not say again. Another dumb move by the Jags.
Yeah.
Look. Okay. You know what? If we're
gonna get wide receivers rich,
if we're gonna get on this,
how about this? He makes wide receivers rich.
I don't care how rich they are. How good of a season did they actually have?
See, this is when people say you've come around to Derek Carr. Clearly wrong, because you definitely have not.
Okay, let's see. Nelson
Aguilar.
Let's see. What do we got? Stats. Let's see this fucking crazy Raider stats. 48 whopping catches.
I didn't say they were crazy. I said turn him into a $22 million wide receiver.
No, you're no. Okay,
but that's literally what I said.
What are you implying when you say that? That he's worth $20 million because Derek Carr made him such a great wide receiver that this is what he's worth. When he had one season where he ever even did a shit.
Do I sleep with my mouth open? Because you love to put words in my mouth when I'm not talking.
No, I understand what you said and what you didn't say. I also understand what you mean by what you're saying. And you can play it off because you technically for sure did not say it. but you're never going to convince me that you didn't mean that.
One of these days, you'll hold me to actually what I say and not what your wild imagination like.
It's not that wild, my man. It's not that wild.
One of these days.
And then your boy Zay Jones had 47 catches for a 546 whopping yards.
And that's 46 more catches than he should ever have in the NFL.
He had 56 with Peterman throwing for to him in 2018. So take that.
Whoa. It's not even fair to compare anyone to Nathan Peterman. That's not even fair.
Okay.
Come on. So it shouldn't even count.
What I was trying to get to was more weapons, better scheme, more professional, a coach that's going to take advantage of his strengths, work on some of the things he needs to work on. And overall, better talent around him. And he has that now. He has all those things. So we don't have to worry about him shitting the bed in the red zone because it's not Gruden calling the same old shit over and over again. It's better schemes, better talent. We're not going to have to worry about these up and down games and, you know, losing games in second halves because he's just not doing anything or he's getting fooled by defenses. We have better schemes that go against specific defenses. We don't just have a guy picking plays from a playbook is, you know, oh, let's dust off this shit from fucking 1997. Better schemes, better talent, expect more from the quarterback.
What position group are you expecting the most out of? Question of the day, down there, pinned, let us know.
We got a lot more out of that than I thought. I thought it was going to be a really quick segment.
Well, again, you started, like, you know, trying to read my mind as opposed to listening to what I say. That's what happens.
God damn it.
So the big story this week, because there can't be a Raiders offseason without some sort of front office drama. Dan Ventrelli, acting interim, sort of, kind of, president of the Raiders, was fired on Friday. And then he released a statement this week saying that the reason he got fired was because Mark Davis. He said he went to Mark Davis and said, I am unhappy with how the females in this organization are being treated. And he said, what was his exact verbiage? When Mark was confronted about these issues, he was dismissive and did not demonstrate the warranted level of concern. So he wasn't angry enough for Ventrelli's liking. And then he snitched on the Raiders to the NFL. And he says that's why he was fired. So this, of course, coming on the heels of less than a year ago when former president Mark Badain resigned, fired, whatever. And that was during an 8-week span in which four other top executives all left the team. So in roughly a year's period of time, we've lost not one, but two presidents and almost a dozen executives. And
yeah, man.
For multiple reasons, from multiple directions. And these were almost all like decades-long employees of the Raiders. Ventrelli had been there 18 years.
Yeah.
Something is seriously Aguero, up in Las Vegas.
Aguero was the only one who hadn't been there for that long, which is the recently relieved COO or VP of HR, however you want to call it. I think it's been reported either way.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Last year, it was like, wow, what the hell's going on upstairs in Las Vegas, right? Then we find out that those guys are just being a bunch of idiots and they didn't pay their taxes properly for years. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I get that. Now we understand why all those guys, you know, moved on.
That's a fireable offense.
Yeah.
Costing millions of dollars.
Listen, guys, you guys fucked up not once, but for years mm-hmm. they screwed up. Okay, guys, you guys got to go. Either you're too stupid or you just didn't care. One of the two. Either way, you're out.
What was that line from Casino? Either you're in on it or you're too stupid to catch it. Either way, you're out.
Either way, you're out.
One of those. Yeah.
Never mind the sir. Never mind the sir. Okay. So now the whole last year, the Badain and his crew, that is like a non-issue now because we know exactly why those guys are gone.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This screams like horseshit to me. Because, I mean, look, walk with me here.
Walk with me. Okay. Talk with me.
The fact that Mark Davis made it a point in his answer to the Las Vegas Review Journal to make sure that everyone knew he was always only the interim president. He was,
that was literally the only thing in his statement that was anything. He's like, I have no comment except
this motherfucker. Anyway, so okay, it's because he emphasized that, one can gather that Venturelli was probably told he wasn't going to be the full-on president, full-blown president. All right. By the wording of Venturelli, he didn't show the, what was it, the warranted level of concern, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing: if I come to you and I say some bullshit like, "Oh yeah, bullshit. So and so was hooking up with so and so," and you're like, "That's fucking bullshit, man. I don't fucking believe it." It's not a problem because I don't believe it, or it's an issue you're trying to freaking drum up. Okay. That can be not a warranted level. But if Mark Davis knows this bullshit, why is he gonna like give that rumor or bullshit any legs? So if you put that stuff together by the wording, I don't know, man. I just feel like it just seems like a bunch of horseshit. What I think happened was, with Aguayo quitting Tuesday night, probably saw the writing on the wall, because this dude was in his last position with a company in Las Vegas for like 25 something years, like 24 years. Mm-hmm. He's been a long time employee somewhere else. He comes to the Raiders. He's there for less than, you know, like what, a half a year, 7 months. He bounces. Okay. Let's just say, for example, with the timing, he bounces Wednesday. Mark Davis tells Venturelli, okay, we're not going to, you know, remove the interim title from the presidency. We're going to move in a different direction. You're going to still be one of your council or whatever. Right. He gets pissed. He tells Mark Davis, well, what about this? You didn't do anything about this. Mark Davis goes, you know what? Fuck you. That's bullshit. You're just trying to drum up some shit. Yeah. Thursday comes along. He calls the fucking, drops the dime to the NFL. Friday, Mark Davis finds out that this bitch has been talking shit, and he fucking cans him. It just all lines up.
So, as we all know, the NFL wants someone else to be the owner of the Raiders, not Mark Davis.
Someone they can control.
Well, someone they can control, not a wild card, Mark. And technically, it's Mark and his mother, Carol Davis, which that's an important distinction, which we'll get to here in a second.
Mm-hmm.
They want, not a wild card. They want a guy that gets in line.
I'm the wild card.
But two, he's like the poorest owner in football. They want, like, the Rams. They want, like, the Commanders. They want bajillionaire owners bringing more bajillions to the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. While Mark Davis is getting rich off the NFL, the NFL wants owners that make the NFL more rich. And obviously all mm-hmm. the owners, none of them are hurting for money, right? They're doing fine.
No, sir.
But Mark Davis is like the full-on ma and pa owner, as opposed to these self-made bajillionaires that own all the other franchises. That's who they want. They want guys who know how to run billion-dollar businesses. Or the Raiders, and I've been saying it for as long as it's been a podcast, it's a ma and pa show. It's guys that like started out, you know, it was like the American dream of the 1950s, right? You start out like, you know, pumping gas at a gas station. If you work hard in 20 years, you'll be the regional manager, right? That's what the Raiders are. Guys that started there being drivers are now becoming presidents of the organization.
It's like, nuts. Yeah, I was on cleanup duty too. Now you see, now I'm washing lettuce.
Now you're getting, now you're getting up there, right?
Year two, excuse me. A year or two, goddamn.
Jesus.
A year or two, I'll be on fries. Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Flipping burgers, and that's when the big bucks start rolling
and
in.
And that's the Raiders, right? And so I don't think they don't like that. And honestly, I love the loyalty that the Raiders have with their people, right? That's awesome. But you also want give me a Harvard MBA mixed in there. You know what I mean? Get me,
which I think was what's happening.
Which is, well, it's what's happening, but it's not happening on purpose. It's happening because all these guys are getting canned.
We don't know that. We don't know that. We don't know that. Mark Davis is finally seeing the light with all the money, the influx of money. Like he's just freaking just like raking cash in now, and he's like, okay, wait a second, I need real legit dudes to handle this shit. I can't have fucking Zeke and all these other fools out here. That's been like have the job because they've been here forever. You know, I need like real legit guys running this operation.
Tom from equipment is now the CFO, you know, Like it's
he's never miscounted a helmet yet. Let's go ahead and get him in there and freaking start doing our taxes.
But this is the thing is, like, because it's a team built of employees that are super loyal because they get brought in from, like, that's how you build loyalty, right? You pull a guy up from nowhere.
Yeah, you see other guy. You see your boss's boss has been there for 20 years. Okay, right? Now, like that, I know that's how I do it.
That's how you breed loyalty. Guy. And so when you got Ventrelli going behind Mark Davis's back and snitching to the NFL, who we all know already has it out for the Raiders and Mark Davis, look no further than what they did to John Gruden less than a year ago. Mark Davis is thinking, fuck this guy. Like, I made you. It's us versus them. And you snitched on something that may or may not be true. I don't know what, you know, if the allegations have any merit to it or not. Ventrelli didn't, you know, release any evidence or anything. But that, if I'm Mark Davis, that's what I'm thinking. Like, this is a team of loyalty. I made all you guys. You guys aren't mercenaries. You guys were forged here. Under my dad, under me, and you go and snitch, beat it.
If anyone in the organization would know just how much the NFL hates the Raiders, it's somebody in their legal counsel like area.
Yeah.
And that's what Ventrelli was before he became acting interim president. So he knows all the horseshit that the Raiders have gone through. He knows it. He knows it firsthand because he's had to deal with it. And then to go run because he's freaking butt hurt that they don't want to use him for the president. That's what it sounds like by Mark Davis's words. That's what it sounds like.
If I want to get really conspiracy theory on this, and I normally don't, I'm the last guy to. I'm like, give me like three pieces of evidence, two forms of identification, and the person's mom there to identify the body. And then like, okay, now I believe you. Mm-hmm. But this could turn into. Because I don't understand why Ventrelli released this statement the way that he did. If you are going to sue your owner, then you do it without releasing anything like this. Like, you get, especially when you're an attorney yourself. It's like, I'm going straight to the courtroom, right? Mm-hmm. You'll hear from my lawyer and we'll go from there. But he made it a point to release this like press release saying everything about Mark Davis and the Raiders and how they didn't jump when he said jump on an issue. This feels like just yet another dagger, another red flag, another bad PR issue for the Raiders that the NFL is constantly trying to bombard the Raiders under. Gruden, now this. It almost feels like Ventrelli is like, look, I snitched. I told him the teacher. Now I'm going to tell him the teacher again, and maybe the teacher will give me some love. Maybe the NFL will hook me up with a cool job, you know, some like chairman of something, show up once a quarter, cash a check, if I can help bring the Raiders down. Because, you know, he knows where the bodies are buried, if there are any.
Oh, dude, that's the thing is, when you got a rat, the fucking whole place is done. The whole fucking place, the whole restaurant closes down when you got a rat. And someone who was as in the know as Ventrelli, it screams like a big just pile of shit, man. That's just a really shitty thing to do. Now, here's the deal. Can the allegations be true and that's the truth? Yeah, there's a possibility of that. Mm-hmm. But by what we're hearing and what the little bit that's come out, it doesn't sound like it. And I find it hard to believe that an organization that has the first women executive, the first Asian executive who was also a woman, the first minority head coach, the first black head coach, like, I don't know why that would be. I mean, I don't know that being a thing. I don't believe it.
I said it on my live chat on Tuesday. This very easily could be the possibility of, if you're trying to make your boss look bad, what do you throw at them? What's the big thing right now, right? It's like,
fucking these hoes.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, sexual misconduct. That's the one I'm going with. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, you can go to probably any business in America and you can find some employee who said something inappropriate to the secretary. Like, it's everywhere.
Somewhere.
Right? Like, to varying degrees, okay? I'm not trying to belittle the actual issue. I'm just saying if I was an attorney and I'm trying to make my boss look bad who fired me, this is definitely a direction I would go. Something like this. Like, if you were a black guy, you'd probably say it was racism, right? Mm-hmm. He's a straight white attorney. Like, all right, let me be Captain Save-A-Ho. Like, it was like, no, they were going after literally these other girls, right? And again, Hopefully that is what he's doing, because hopefully there isn't an issue there. If there is, hold their can of beans. But this is just yet another, like, the NFL looking bad, and you got to imagine the NFL is going to jump on this. This is how you tell. If there's an investigation and the NFL goes to their normal kangaroo court, they're like, oh, yeah, we investigated the Redskins. Nothing to see here. Everything's taken care of. If they go to those same groups of people, then you know, okay, maybe it's not a conspiracy theory. If they're like, no, we're going to let an outside attorney take care of this. We're going to let the FBI take care of this. We're going to let law enforcement take care of this. Bring them in. Then you know the NFL's absolutely flagrantly out to get the Raiders, as opposed to just kind of under the radar out to get the Raiders.
Yeah, it's the rate. Look, the NFL's response was pretty short, and it didn't really tell you much, like what avenue they were going to go down. But the fact that we haven't heard anything from it since, I don't know. I think it's just going to go away, honestly.
You're more optimistic than me. I hope that's the case.
Like that rash on your balls just went away.
Yeah, just disappeared. Yeah, babe. It's gone. So Yannick Ngakoue is still pissed. You'd think the guy would be used to being traded by now. You know, you'd think the guy would be used to not, what, is his fifth team in the last three years. Yeah. Fifth
three,
team in three seasons.
Year. Three
in
one
yeah.
year.
And I wonder if he's insulted he got traded for Rock Ya-Sin. Like, nothing against the corner, but like, you got 10 sacks last year and you got traded for like a guy that's maybe a starter, like barely a starter.
You know,
I wonder if you feel bad about that.
People were talking about that when we signed him. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm kind of worried about it. You know, he's been playing for a lot of teams. Like, you brought it up in one of the shows. Are you worried about the fact that he's played for so many teams and blah, 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 this and that? I'm like, nah, I'm not worried. And then he played. I'm like, he had like 28 tackles and 10 and a half sacks. So less than 30 of his tackles, less than 20 of his tackles were somebody not a quarterback.
And that's really playing like 60% of the defensive snaps.
If I'm going to talk shit on a guy, I'm going to look at the real stats.
Yeah, you do that. This is what he said. He spoke to the golongtd.com. His exact words were, this is Yannick Ngakoue talking about the Raiders. They'll see how I feel when we play them. We go to their house. They'll see why they fucked up. They're going to have to pay. They'll pay. The way I feel right now, if you're in my way, I would be afraid.
Yeah, unless you're a running back or a receiver or a tight end.
I mean, did Khalil Mack ever say anything like this? Did Amari Cooper ever say anything like this?
No, because Khalil Mack got pizzed by the Bears. That's why.
But this was just weird. It feels like, because I think what happened was that he was sick of being traded, sick of getting moved around, and he thought he found a home. Like, he was jiving with Max Crosby. Like, they were boys. Seemed like they were, you know, the defense was jiving together. Probably stoked. They didn't have to pay any income tax, state income tax in Nevada. Beautiful stadium. A team that's on the up and up. He probably thought, all right, finally got a home. We're good. And Ziegler comes in and says, nope, you're off.
Listen, man. You're not that good. You got to go. I need someone better. Okay. So for realies now.
Okay.
For feelsies. Ngakoue had 28 tackles, 11 assisted. Mm-hmm. Okay. 10 sacks. So take away the assisted and the sack. That's 21. He tackled somebody by himself who was not a quarterback 7 times in 17 games. Mm-hmm. 7 times in 17 games. Where he was not, probably just jumped on a pile that somebody already grabbed a guy or the quarterback. 7 in 17 games.
They'll see how I feel when we play them. We go to their house. They'll see why they fucked up. They're going to have to pay. They'll pay. I think we just run in his direction and Josh Jacobs is going to get 200 yards. Because, you know, he's not going to tackle anybody that's not, taking a 5-step drop.
Toss it to Yannick. Toss it to Yannick.
Colton Miller is going to ragdoll him. I hope they put him on the right side against our left side and have Colton Miller just toy with him for 4 quarters. And he's still good, right? Like he can get to the quarterback. Like, he'll cut that angle. He's got some speed.
But he got to the quarterback 10 times in 7 games. He did what he was. Well, I mean, look, I'm not going to say that because he was like, what, top three in pressures in the NFL? Like, he was really good at getting pressure.
Yeah,
I get that. Okay, I'm not going to disparage him in that sense. The issue that I have is he didn't show any heart whatsoever when he was blocked initially. When his first move didn't work, he was done.
Yeah.
He was
done. He bailed in the play.
You know, a lot of Max Crosby's tackles were where he
second,
ran the play
third,
from behind.
Fourth, fifth, sixth effort.
Yeah, and, you know, he could have. He's just as fast, if not faster, than Max Crosby. Powerful upper body. He can get around these guys. Mm-hmm. Dude, it's just effort. At that point, it was just effort. Trailing the play, chasing the play down. And that's just when some people were not so hyped about that, the signing of Unique, and then we go ahead and like see him play. Oh, great. The sacks are great because, oh, he got a sack. Great. Awesome. Oh, he's pressuring the quarterback. Great, great, great. And then we're seeing all these plays where he's like that one play where he was laying on the ground and like the offensive tackle was just like basically just touching him, like holding him on the ground. He just laid there. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, I'm good. You don't have to block me. I'm not going to get up. Terrible.
When you have a ton of ex-girlfriends, you really don't hold grudges. Like, if you married your high school sweetheart and you find out she was cheating on you like 11 years into your marriage, then you're like, all right.
All these bitches I could have been.
I got a vendetta against this bitch, right? When you've got a new girlfriend every 6 months for 10 years, you really, guys that we know like that, they don't hold a lot of grudges against ex-girlfriends when they've got 50 of them. You know what I mean? You really don't. Unique Ngakoue has been on so many teams, again, 5 in the last 3 years. You'd think that being traded would just be like a Tuesday for him. Something is up. Either the Raiders did something dirty to him that we don't know about, or he really truly felt that he was home and he felt betrayed that he didn't get kept around.
I don't know, man.
Something unique is happening.
I think, honestly,
unique,
I think
unique.
Unique, unique, unique.
Unique.
I think the issue that happened is he felt like, okay, I'm going to be here for another couple years. Mm-hmm. I said a 2-year guarantee and have a 3rd-year option. I'm good. I'll be fine. I'm gonna plant roots in this team, and then you get an objective look at the player. I just did a quick little scan of his stats, and I'm like, this guy didn't fucking do shit. You know, great. He got 10 sacks. That's awesome. But when he wasn't getting sacks, he wasn't helping the team any.
In all fairness to him, that's all kind of what he was brought in to do, right? We had like the most abysmal sack, you know,
for sure,
quarterback pressure and sack team 2 seasons ago. It's like, all right, we let's just get a guy that's going to get to the quarterback, and we did, right? High pressures, 10 sacks. That was it. But now, Gus Bradley's not here anymore. Right. And you'd think he'd be stoked to go back to Gus Bradley. Like, he seemed to he was able to be Unique Ngakoue under Gus Bradley.
Yeah. Gus Low Bradley motor. Didn't give a shit that he didn't freaking try against the
run. Give up on run plays. Give up after your first move. I don't care. Just give me some pressures. Give me double digit sacks. And so you'd think he'd be happy. He's going to a team with 7 Pro Bowlers.
DeForest Buckner on the other side. I think he'd be all right.
Like, you'd think he'd be happy. You'd think he'd be like, cool. All right. I'm getting traded again. But I keep getting traded up. I keep getting traded into better situations, right? He's going like, was it Vikings, Ravens, Raiders playoff team, Colts, all the makings of a playoff team. They didn't go last season, but it's against 7 Pro Bowlers until they fell apart against Jacksonville last season. Crazy. Like, you'd think you'd be stoked. Like, if I was signed to the Colts, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Weird. It's just weird that he's so pissed.
Weird. Something's up with it.
It's like in that show, Silicon Valley. Big Head, Big Eddie, was always like, he failing up. He gets failing, and he just gets a CEO of this company. Oh, you got $10 million grant. Like, what the fuck happened here? That's unique.
The season finale, when he's like talking to a girl, she's like, this girl's like, yeah, I'm a student at Stanford. He's like, yeah, I work at Stanford. I'm the president. That was like the best way to just like write off Big Head in the season finale. He's like, yeah, I just became president of Stanford or whatever it's called, chancellor.
Chancellor, yeah. It's freaking hilarious.
Real quick, the rich sure get richer in this world. Okay. Tom Brady just signed a 10-year deal. Oh, really? 10 years? Wow, he's going to play with 53? No. 10-year broadcasting deal with Fox Sports to be their lead analyst, when he retires. So they kind of they paint it as if, you know, if he retires after next season, it would start, or if he plays two, three more years. Whenever he retires, this is when it starts. 10 years, 375 million American dollars. $37.5 million a year for 10 years. And this isn't fake NFL contract. This is an actual guaranteed binding contract. We haven't seen the contract, but that's what it's looking like. That would make him, it won't start next season. But let's say, for sake of argument, it started next season. He'd be the sixth highest paid player in football. Not
that is absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. So here's the deal. Here's what we know for sure. What we know is Tom Brady didn't want to play for the Bucs this next coming season. Mm-hmm. He was trying to get himself off the Bucs, preferably to the 49ers.
Off the books of the Bucs.
Yeah, he wanted to switch teams. He didn't want to play for the Bucs again. And he's a little bit of a diva, a little bit of, you know, his ego is there. Don't let him fool you with this, you know, newfound like enthusiasm and charisma since leaving good old Billy Boy in New England.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an ego, and he's a kind of a little of a diva, right? And I don't think he liked it that his retirement was leaked before he was able to do it. I don't think he liked that. I think he came back just for that, because he, you know what? You guys stole that moment for me. Now I'm going to make the entire season fucking Tom Brady's last tour.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the last year. Because look, if I'm Fox and I'm giving somebody a shit ton of money guaranteed to do a job, I'm not going to wait 3-4 years for him to fucking do it. Like, we're paying him as an ambassador and an analyst. So the ambassador part needs to happen. I need to start getting a return on that money. Even though I'm not paying it per se, I still need to get that money back.
That was what I was going to say, is I feel like Fox Sports is hiring him as a mascot, but then also having him do color commentary as well, right? Like, same thing with Devontae Adams, right? How can we rationalize making Devontae Adams the highest paid wide receiver at the time? Well, because whatever we pay Devontae, we'll save on Derek Carr, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to motivate Derek Carr to take this cheap deal. So
it's a smart business, right? As it turned out.
Brilliant business move, right? Yeah. Same thing with Tom Brady. I mean, these commentary gigs are getting insane. Was it Troy Aikman's getting like 18 mil, right? Joe Buck's getting like 15 mil, something like that. Like, they're getting ESPN swoop these Fox guys up, and they're giving them, like, you think the quarterback salaries are breaking every year?
Analysts
are going even further. It went from a crazy, insane, unbelievable $18 million a year to now 37 and a half. $20 million more in a month. Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, the thing is Troy Aikman's damn good. I like Troy Aikman. Mm-hmm. You know, even though he went to UCLA. But look at when Fox first started, they paid an obscene amount of money for the NFL, and they paid an obscene amount of money at the time to John Madden to bring him over. Mm-hmm. He was the face of not only football on Fox, but of sports, because he was so good and so recognizable on Fox. Fox then able to get MLB, and then they were able to get NASCAR, and then they were able to get others. Like, they got the UFC.
Remember,
the UFC.
At the time, Fox was just the channel with Married with Children and Simpsons. It was just like,
that's great. And you know what? I grimy. Was fine with it. And in Living Color, great. Don't forget Living Color.
In Living Color. It was the grimy channel, right? Not the buttoned up, like, clean cut. It was like the grimy channel. Like, they can't handle NFL. It's like, well, we need some legitimacy, right? So they don't need the legitimacy of Tom Brady, but what they do want is, like I said, pay that much money.
That figure.
Now he's like, hey, Budweiser, Chevy, General Electric, hey, you want Tom Brady to do your ad read? Do you want your executives in the box to have Tom Brady come shake hands for 2 hours? Right? That's what they have with Tom Brady now.
Yep.
It's like, all right, we'll make him an analyst. And we don't even know if he's going to be good or not. Like, if I had to pick all these, like, superstars to be analysts, like, Tom Brady would be on the bottom of the list. He doesn't have a personality. He's not a charming guy. You know, he knows football inside and out. You know, he's going to do his homework. But I was like, is he like the fun?
It's really going to depend a lot who they put him in the booth with. They need to get pro that can really tee him up.
Yeah. It's going to take a serious chemistry test.
Well, don't glance by the whole TB12 shit, too. because now he's going to have a forum where he's not just on his game. He's announcing everybody's game. Everybody in the league, you're going to get a Tom Brady game. And so there's the whole recognition of the TV12 crap, all that other stuff. That's just going to go through the roof.
This is the biggest thing, and this is really the only part that I care about. It's fun talking about the money. It's fun talking about broadcasting. Again, I work in broadcasting. It's fun. What I really care about is the football. What happens on the field? That's what I care about. What affects that? What affects the football? This is the one thing. I want my athletes playing their sports as long as possible, right? Mm-hmm. Again, I work for the UFC. I work in MMA, and I've seen athletes bail on MMA because the pay's not that great. The damage you take is brutal.
UFC pay is not that great. MMA pay in other organizations,
and they pay better than Bellator and ONE and everybody else. That's the other thing. Their percentage of income is what people get mad at, right? Because they're not, mm-hmm. but they still. If you want to be a millionaire, you got to be in the UFC, right? You got to sell pay-per-views for the UFC. Basically, 99% of the time. There's definitely exceptions, Kayla Harrison being one of them. My point being, I've seen athletes in their prime bounce from the sport because once you have other options, you take it. When you can make, and again, he's we may not see this number for a while, if ever, but if you can make $37.5 million a year, not doing OTAs, not taking hits from the Max Crosbys of the world, not waking up at 5 a.m. to grind film before practice, not getting yelled at by Belichick or Andy Reid or whoever. If you can make $37.5 million talking into a microphone once a goddamn week,
mm-hmm.
you're going to take it.
Yep.
I'm worried that we're going to see great quarterbacks, great wide receivers say, you know what? I don't need this anymore. Why would I play football, risk my health, get motherfucked by my coach, fighting with management all the time, when I can make more money sitting in an air-conditioned, booth, having 7 smoking hot Fox NFL PAs catering to my every whim? That's what I'm worried about, this is not going to make people want to leave football faster.
I don't think so, man, because none of those guys are Tom Brady. You know, those guys have 7 rings. They don't have the gravitas that Tom Brady, the name Tom Brady has. Because look at this. For example, you have Derek Jeter. You have like Magic Johnson. Michael Jordan's a little different because he actually owns the team with his own money. Like he was the main guy. Mm-hmm. Jeter and Magic were like figureheads. They were figureheads for groups that went and bought the team. Tom Brady's going to talk to a lot of GMs. A lot of owners, all these people higher up than he would get access to normally. What's Tom Brady going to do as a quarterback of the Bucks talking to the owner of the fucking Bears or the Chiefs or, the Giants? He's not going to talk to them. When he's in this capacity now he'll have the ability to smooth and talk to these guys, get in that group where his name is big enough where he can probably be the figurehead of a group that buys an NFL team.
And that's my point is he's the peak of Mount Everest, but the peak of Mount Everest just raised up higher, right? So even if you only, let's say you make half of what Tom Brady does. Let's say you make half. You're still making $19 million a year broadcasting. You're telling me that a disgruntled wide receiver who's got 5 good years left would say, screw that. CBS called, offered me $18 million a year to call games. I'm going to do that instead.
Okay, that's, who is it then?
It could be anybody.
No, it can't be anybody because they're not Tom Brady.
Or 18? Again, the peak is $38 million
now. Not going to give him nearly that much because the draw for the broadcast is Tom Brady. You have to be
it's not. The broadcast, the ratings do not change regardless of who's broadcasting.
About the ratings. I'm talking about why the NFL chose Tom Brady to do it is because of his name. Now,
mascot, yeah.
Also because of the outside stuff. They're not going to give all that money to freaking to Davante Adams. As good as Davante Adams is, they're not going to give him all that money to do it because he's not really that polarized. Like people who aren't huge NFL fans don't know who Davante Adams is.
Sean McVay is going to leave coaching early for the booth. Guaranteed. mark my words. He's built for the booth, right? Smart, intellectual, ladies love, my wife loves Sean McVay, thinks he's a beautiful man. He is going to leave coaching early because he can make more money in the booth for an easier job. Mark my words. It's going to happen.
That's the Gruden path already. That's already happened.
That's what I'm saying. It's like
you have to be a special type of coach to do that. You have to be personable. You have to be so low. You said it yourself.
It's not for everybody.
Your wife loves him because he's good looking. He's young. He's charismatic. He was a winner. He holds a lot more weight. His words hold more weight. You don't have all that many guys. Like, look, you saw the picture of all the head coaches of the NFL. How many young, strapping, good-looking winners do you see there? There's not that many.
Tom Coughlin missed his calling.
You got Andy Reid up there, Walrus looking ass.
I'm not saying everyone's going to leave their teams. I'm saying now specific players, specific coaches, specific stars – they can make more not playing football.
So who's the next one then?
I think, well, not player, but coach, Sean McVay. 100% Sean McVay is going to leave coaching earlier than he could have to be in the booth. 100%.
Okay, so who's to say that he would have been the coach long-term for the Rams specifically anyway?
He'd be anywhere. Maybe one day he could have been the Raiders head coach 10 years from now. I don't know. Like he could be anything, right? Like he's
okay, well, who's
proven winner,
who's next,
young.
Who's the next player then? You said that another player can do it. Who's the next player after Tom Brady?
Well, Drew Brees is already there, right? He was leaving early. Or not leaving early. He left, you know, he's 41 years old, dude. Yeah. He left after the playing career, right? Mm-hmm. But my point is if you're 27 and you've got a big personality and you've got a name, you have another option.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen. I can't give you a name off the top of my head.
Here's my issue that I have with that argument. Who is the NFL pushing right now? Who's going to be that guy who's going to be known across platforms, right? There is none. It was Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Like now that you say, they're still using Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. They're still using Eli Manning, right? Like you have to be pushed up from the NFL to be that next guy. And they don't push a ton of guys to do that. So it's only going to be maybe one or two guys that are going to get that kind of deal.
How about Raiders? Denzel Perryman. Denzel Perryman could easily be a guy where CBS is like, we'll give you $12 million a year to call football.
I highly doubt it.
He's such a personality. He's not a household name, but he's got such a great gift for gab.
That's a problem then. He's not a household name. You wouldn't give a non-household name that kind of money. Tony Romo was a household name. That's why he got the money.
And that's what I'm saying is because now the height of Mount Everest is so much higher now, like the absolute peak, right? When you have everything going for you, right? Well, only one guy can do it, right? Tom Brady. Before that used to be 10 million. That used to be it, right? Like, oh, John Gruden was getting, you know, $10, $11 million, right? Tony Romo got $11, $12, $13 million. That was the peak. When you were the superstar, you were the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. The number was 13 million.
Okay.
Now it's 38 million.
I see what you're saying now, but let me counter that with this. Michael Jordan's last few years in the league, he was getting paid an obscene amount of money. One-year deals, more, double than anyone else in the league. And still nobody was close to him. Because he was fucking Michael Jordan. He was the guy. That's why he got paid so much more than everybody else. I'm not saying that he's Michael Jordan, but Tom Brady to the NFL is that guy. He is that winner. He is that champion. He is known to be that guy. So if you're going to use him as an ambassador, you can pay this guy that kind of money because he has that kind of appeal.
My point is, up until 2 years ago, you would always make more playing football than broadcasting. You can still make $12 million, but that's obviously far less than you made playing football if you were a star quarterback, right? Now the scale has slid so far that for certain people, they could make more broadcasting than playing football, right? Mm-hmm. It's not unthinkable to, like, they're already paying, you know, there's a lot of guys comparable to Troy Aikman as far as household name, what you did on the football field. You know, he's way up there.
But those guys, save for Tony Romo, built their career as a broadcaster over time and then got that money.
I'm saying that there's probably a dozen guys right now that could make $20 million broadcasting based on where that scale
way
is.
Way overvaluing that. I think Brady is that scale buster where he's like not even a part of the scale. He's that Michael Jordan his last few years in the NBA. He's getting paid so much more because he's much more valuable than everybody else in the league. That's why he gets paid. And you can't compare yourself to that.
Salaries were skyrocketing before the Tom Brady thing, right? And all he did was propel where the ceiling is. Like it was.
Yeah, but he's also going to be the face of. He's also going to be the face of NFL football.
I'm not saying everyone's going to get $37 million. I'm not saying that. I'm saying now $20 million is very, very, very doable.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Not in the least.
It'll happen. Mark my words.
I mean, eventually it'll happen, but not anytime soon.
Sean McVay already leveraged his potential TV deals to get more money from the Rams. Like that's already part of the equation, right? Why do you think John Gruden had to get out 10 years, $100 million? He wasn't negotiating against what is he worth as a coach. He's not negotiating against 31 other teams for his services. Mm-hmm. He was negotiating against ABC for his services. So it's,
and also like, McVay happened before Tom Brady did.
100%. And that's my point is this ball has been rolling steadily for years. And then Tom Brady just created a brand new ceiling. Again, a ceiling of one. I'm with you. Only Tom Brady can command that number. But it's been going like this, 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 this. And then Brady just did this.
Okay.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Ready to do some what a winbacks?
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
So I got this one from Dutchmaster710 during my live chat on Tuesday. And I was like, I want to do this one with Soto. It was like kind of towards the end of the chat. I want to do it with Soto. I want to do it good. And I want everyone to watch. I was like, all right, there's enough time for me to hit this at the end of the chat. Let's do it correctly. Dutchmaster710, do you think the Gruden email leaks was a blessing in disguise?
That's a tricky question for me because I don't know that it was much of a disguise. I think by far.
It was just a blessing?
Hands down, it was just a blessing from up above. Mm-hmm. I don't think you and I really like gave a shit about Gruden leaving. It was more like picking on the Raiders that we were pissed about.
Yeah.
I had no problem with Gruden leaving. He was not doing well. I don't think that he would have survived the being able to turn around to win the last four games after the losing three in a row. I don't know. I don't think that would have happened with another John Gruden team because he's shown us the previous 2 years that he wasn't able to right the ship after a mid-season, you know, stumble.
Well, I will say in positivity for Gruden, he had him after he wiped the cupboards bare in his first season, the team improved every season, right? 4 wins, mm-hmm. 7 wins, 8 wins. And they were 5-2 when shit hit the fan with John Gruden. So the season was going well, right? Derek Carr was leading in, you know, yards and scoring all these points. Defense was somewhat okay, which was a giant improvement for us, right? I think that and that momentum died. I think long term, it's a blessing in disguise. For the 100th time, I'm cautiously optimistic in this Josh McDaniels, Dave Ziegler regime, right? You're on board 100%. Rory still hates it. I'm kind of in the middle, cautiously optimistic.
Rory's dumb.
I think long term, this is a blessing in disguise, but I still have to wonder what would have happened last season if Gruden stayed around. Like if that team did not go through the most drama any NFL team has ever gone through, how would we have done? How would we have done if we could have, would Henry Ruggs maybe have been such a bonehead? Maybe, maybe not. Probably still, but who knows if leadership stayed around, right?
He was driving like an idiot all the time. So,
I mean, would we have called that absolutely dumbass fourth and goal play, the last play of the Bengals game, if John Gruden was doing the play calling?
That's assuming John Gruden would have been in that situation.
Yeah.
The better question to ask is, would John Gruden have been able to right the ship after they were 5-5?
Would they have gotten to 5-5 if John Gruden was still there, right? Like these are all giant what-ifs that we're just like.
All we can look at is what we've seen. That's the only thing really we can go, but any evidence that we have.
Teflon and Agnello.
Agnello.
Agnello. This was from the video of which starter should be worried that a rookie's going to take their job. Denzel Good, Brandon Parker should be worried. I think everyone on the line minus Colton Miller, there's a reason to be nervous. But I would say Denzel Good's probably the second least one to be worried about. I feel like he's the most established. Like, he's the oldest guy, right? What, 31, something like that?
Yeah, 30, 31.
And he was already just a swing guard anyway. So I feel like Denzel Good's like the least established guy to like kind of be worried about, and probably the best guard on the roster, I'd say. Brandon Parker for sure, though.
Yeah. So the fact that they have so many offensive linemen now on their roster, and how many do you keep? Like, how many do you have on the active roster? What, seven maybe?
Total? Maybe? No, at least 10.
No, on your game day roster. On your game day roster, like seven or eight, maybe? You don't have 10.
At least eight. At least eight.
I don't know about that, man. Usually it's usually like seven, maybe eight.
You got five starters.
You got two swing guys. I don't know if you had three backups, man. I don't know that you have three backups. We've seen tight ends play tackle before. Mm-hmm. Because it's like there's just no more offensive line. You're telling me four guys went down?
ZB, because Al Davis was drama. It's in the DNA. He thrived on it until he didn't. Al Davis was, but it wasn't drama for drama's sake. Like, he wasn't like a little.
I don't know, man. That whole press conference, the whole late Kevin press conference with the projector, that was drama for drama's sake.
But it's always with a goal. Like, he's like, I have a 2.5-year-old. And she'll throw a tantrum just for the sake of throwing a tantrum, right? Just where's the boundary? What can I get away with, right? Al Davis always had a goal. Mm-hmm. He would be tough to deal with. That's because he wanted something and you were in his way. And maybe he didn't handle it always correctly. And he took the path of most resistance.
Often.
But he was taking a path to a destination.
True.
And I think that's what bred the drama. And that's what made good drama, right? Like, again, I keep using the UFC example. Why is the only reality show I've ever really watched The Ultimate Fighter? Because it's the only reality show where there's like a physical fight at the end to deal with the drama. You watch Real Housewives or whatever and Below Deck and all this trash that my wife watches. And it's just these chicks yelling at each other. Blah, 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 and they leave and cry and they talk to the camera and then it's over. Like, there's no resolution, right? Yeah. Al Davis always sought a resolution.
Because Al Davis was smart. What he knew that he didn't have to make like some groundbreaking argument for why he was doing what he was doing. He just had to put an argument out there. And some people were going to see what he was doing, either because they believed in him and believed in his argument, or because they just hated his whoever he was going against worse than they hated him. Yeah. Miss you, Al.
R.I.P. All right, that's it. Episode 101 of the Autumn Windbag.
Sexy.
99 more to go until we hit our next groundbreaking number. Get there. It took us a year and a half? Another year and a half? No big deal. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to episode 101 of the Autumn Windbags. Thank you for being along with us for this ride. Make sure you check us out on YouTube as well. A lot of bonus content on there. We think you're going to love. And of course, follow us on social media at The Windbags on Twitter, at The Autumn Windbags on Instagram. Until next time, later.